Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your abundant mercies that you desire to lavish on us, along with your love, that we and all people would be called children of God. So, Father, come, fill us with your Holy Spirit of adoption, and turn our hearts to you as our loving Father, that we might receive all good that you have for us this morning. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And please be seated. This is a remarkable gospel story today as Jesus leaves the area of Israel, the area of his people, and he ventures out into Tyre and Sidon, areas that are identified by even what the woman in the story is identified as by Matthew, the Canaanites. These were enemies of God. Are enemies of God's people, that initially when God brought his people into the promised land, he said, get rid of all these people, drive them out, lest they turn your hearts to their gods and their evil ways. But Jesus goes into this area, and he goes into this area after he has had confrontations with the leaders of his own people, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, and he withdraws from the area of Galilee and Israel to find, I think, a time of respite. And as he goes into this area of Tyre and Sidon, and the Canaanite woman of that region, she comes out and she cries out after him desperately, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David," acknowledging that he is the Son of David, even perhaps acknowledging that he's the Messiah, the hoped-for one of the people of Israel. Yet she begs him for mercy. She, like another parent of a possessed child, the man who brought his son who had been possessed by a demon to the disciples, she too is desperate. We can get distracted by the dynamics of this interaction. Why is it that Jesus seems to refer to her and her people as dogs? Why is it that Jesus seems to ignore her? But there's three truths here that I want to emphasize. And it's the truth that her daughter is possessed by a demon. That she pleads with Jesus for help, and Jesus gives her the help that she asks for. And this is the dynamic that is so relevant for us, and really for all people today, but we are the people of God who have been given an understanding of these great and unscrutable mysteries of God, so that we can intervene, so that we can intercede for people in the midst of this dynamic, that there is a thief who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. There is a devil who Jesus calls the murderer and the father of lies, who seeks to destroy, who we see in Scripture attack the most vulnerable. And we know from Scripture, 1 John, the letter, John tells us that the reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the works of the devil. That's what Jesus wants to do, what he does here. It seems like with his conversation that he was reluctant to bring about healing for this woman's daughter. But I think Jesus is rather doing what he does so often, and that's living out a parable of the mystery of God's salvation. That yes, God called his people, the elect of Israel, to be his people, a holy priesthood for all the nations. That all the nations through the witness of Israel would come to know Yahweh and worship him. And Jesus is living that out, living out the fulfillment of God's people Israel. He comes to the Jew first. Like he tells the woman at the well in John chapter 4, it's from the Jews that salvation comes. But Paul tells us in the first chapter of Romans that the gospel is the power of salvation for all who believe, first for the Jews, then for the Gentiles. Jesus is living that out. He's bringing salvation to the Jews, to the Gentiles, and to all the world. Anytime we interpret Scripture, we want to start with that wonderful truth from John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. In John chapter 1, he tells us that Jesus came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to any who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all people to come to repentance. He wants all people to be saved. That's what Jesus is living out. But what he does first is he abides by the tradition of the people of Israel. We don't talk to Gentiles. We don't interact with them. They're unclean. They might make us unclean. He's carrying out what he just had this argument with the Pharisees about, the traditions of men that interfere with the purposes of God. And he kind of seems to be carrying that out. But I think Jesus knows this woman has faith. There's never a time in Scripture where Jesus rejects someone who cries out to him. Sometimes he seems to let their faith build and grow. And this, like I said, is a parable teaching us how to exercise our faith, even against the opposition that comes. Like so often, the disciples, they seem to miss the heart of Jesus. Jesus, send her away. Jesus, tell her to be quiet, as they so often do. They're bothering us. She's driving us crazy. Send her away. And whether they're saying, just get rid of her, or just give her what she wants so she'll go away, you can tell their heart is not in tune with Jesus. And Jesus tells them, I've sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. But she intervenes in that conversation between Jesus and his disciples. While it would have been appropriate and expected for the rabbi to have his people keep her back, just like a celebrity with his entourage and security, keep him back, she presses in because she's desperate. She's desperate because her daughter is possessed by a demon. You know, if you read commentaries on this passage like I did, they all focus on what is Jesus saying? What is Jesus talking about here? What's he doing? They seem to gloss over the fact that here is a young girl possessed by a demon of hell who's trying to kill her, destroy her. If you remember in Mark chapter 9 and also in Matthew and Luke when the transfiguration happens, this glorious event on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, and Jesus. And when they come down into the valley, Jesus comes upon his disciples who are all arguing with this crowd of teachers of the law and of some people. And there's a man there. And Jesus says, what are y'all arguing about? And he says, I brought my son to be healed because he's possessed by a demon. And Jesus says, oh, you faithless generation, how long must I be with you? Bring him to me. And when the man brought his son, the demon convulsed him. So he rolled about. Mark says he foamed at the mouth. Can you imagine seeing your son convulsed, foaming at the mouth, possessed by a demon? You know, we've had just a minor experience of that with our dog who has seizures. It's traumatic. It's awful. And here's a man's son, and Jesus says, how long has he been like this? And the father says, from childhood, and it has often cast him into the fire, into the water to destroy him. This is what we're dealing with in the world today. The spiritual forces of evil trying to destroy, trying to oppress, lying, murdering, doing all kinds of violence, tempting us and other Christians into sin so that our witness is destroyed, so that our faith is undermined, so that our testimony is nullified. This is what we're dealing with, spiritual forces of evil who want to destroy children from conception in our world today, something not even thought of then, from conception, from birth, trying to abuse, neglect, mislead, pervert children. And then as they grow up, trying to misuse them, misguide them. This is what we're dealing with, this kind of evil. And Jesus, the man said to him, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Think about this cry. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The woman in the gospel today, Lord, help me, coming and throwing herself at Jesus. Lord, help me. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Lord, do something. Desperate to see her daughter saved. The man with the possessed son says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said, if you can, all things are possible for the one who believes. And immediately the father cried out and said, I believe, help my unbelief. And then Jesus commanded the spirit and said, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, he came out. And then the boy seemed like he was dead, but Jesus picked him up and returned him to his father. Later, when the disciples said, who were down there with the crowd arguing and trying to cast it out and couldn't, they said, Jesus, why couldn't we cast it out? And he gave that famous answer in Mark 9:29, this kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Note, footnote at the bottom, and some manuscripts say, and fasting, which I think I would take as prayer and fasting. This is what drives out the demons. This is what destroys the work of the devil, prayer and fasting. What this woman, this Canaanite woman does is she prays to Jesus. She calls upon his name. And Jesus seems to put her off. The disciples put her off. But she will not be put off. Because the one in the world whom she loves more than anyone is the one that she's interceding for, is the one that she's praying for. And she will not be put off because she has heard the stories about this man, Jesus. He heals the sick. He drives out the demons. The word has gotten around. And she's going to cling to him. She's going to call out upon him. She's going to throw herself down at his feet, humbling herself, even humiliating herself for the sake of her daughter. Just throw me the crumbs, Jesus. And he says, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. Oh, woman, great is your faith. This is what I think, as much as anything in our lives, is a goal for us to pursue. To have great faith. To have great faith that comes before Jesus with intercession to free people from the power of the evil one. This is a goal for all of us. You know, studies have been done. Harvard did a study about, my stepdad loves to quote this in his speeches on goal setting that he used to give. Harvard did a study one time and they studied everyone in a class and they studied, okay, who has set goals? And then they followed that class, as Harvard likes to do in their studies, for, you know, until they're into their careers. And the bottom line is the students who had set goals, specific goals, were much more successful than those who hadn't. And so it is encouraging to set goals, to make them specific, to write them down, to set dates, and then to pursue them. Well, what if we all, as a goal, set a goal to have great faith? And to demonstrate it daily in our lives. Now, if you look at the news today, almost on any given day, but definitely by a week, you can read how the FBI or the Department of Homeland Security or ICE or a local department did a sting to catch usually men trying to sexually exploit minors. There was one in California last week. They arrested 34 men who were trying to arrange a sexual meeting with someone they thought was a 12 or 13-year-old. They had interactions with over 100. 34 got arrested. There was one in Texas near Fort Hood about 2 weeks ago that arrested, I think, 9 men, 2 soldiers, who were doing the same thing. It's common. You know, that's just an example of what's happening to children. In addition to the 800,000 to a million who are aborted in the womb each year, in addition to the thousands who are exploited through child pornography, in addition to the thousands who are addicted to drugs and susceptible to overdose or suicide, This is what's happening to our children all around us. Beyond that, they're being manipulated by the immorality of the cultural lack of ethics and perversion. Now, that's in addition to everything else. The virus, politics, what's going on in our own individual lives that we're dealing with. What can we do about it? Well, this gospel passage demonstrates what we can do. But first, we have to care. First, we have to experience the brokenheartedness that a mother does for a child who's being possessed and manipulated by a demon. First, we have to experience the compassion and pity of the heart of Jesus, who has come into the world to die so that such a girl could be freed. When Peter, in Acts 10, was at Cornelius' house introducing these Romans to Jesus and to the gospel, he described the work of Jesus as going around doing good and healing all those oppressed by the devil. This is what he came to do. And he came to do it out of a love and a passion to overcome and destroy the power of the devil, but to set people free and to bring them into a relationship with him as sons and daughters. The woman prays to Jesus. That's what she's doing. She's praying to God. Revelation chapter 8 gives us a wonderful vision of the throne room of heaven. It was an integral verse and image of that inspired the book that I wrote, To Be Silent. It says, when one of the trumpets blew, maybe the sixth trumpet, there was silence in heaven for half an hour. And during that silence in heaven, it says, and the angels brought these censers, golden censers that wafted incense up to the throne of God. And it says, the incense rose to God's throne along with the prayers of God's people. And it seems like in that silence of heaven, whether somehow literally but definitely figuratively, God was breathing in the prayers of his people along with the incense offered at his throne. And after that 30 minutes of silence was over in heaven, God roused himself. And a censer was filled with coals from the fire and thrown onto the earth with lightning and thunder. And it was a manifestation of God's movement, his response to the prayers of the people. It's to inspire us in the midst of such evil and wickedness around us, in the midst of turmoil and oppression and evil done against people, to pray, to see the effectiveness of our prayers on behalf of people we don't know and will never meet on this side of heaven. The children who are oppressed, the children in the womb who are under threat of abortion, the children who are being hooked into sexual exploitation or to drug addiction, or are being harassed by spirits of suicide and depression. Children who are being manipulated by the father of lies to believe lies that there is no God, or that God doesn't love them, or there is no hope for them. We have the power, and we see it in this gospel, we have the power to pray to God and for God to act in their lives. I don't know how Jesus does this. It's a mystery. O woman, great is your faith, be it done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. Jesus is, he doesn't even do anything. He just says, be it done to you according to your faith. God has powers that we cannot even imagine. God created the whole world out of nothing with his word. He created each of us out of nothing. His power is beyond our comprehension. The question is, do we have faith in him? Is our faith effective? Does our faith produce power, movement from God? If we pray with faith to Jesus, he is able to bring people healing. He's able to save and to rescue. He makes a point of showing us that. The Lord is able to rescue the godly. Ezekiel 34:20 says it as plainly as anywhere. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey. Thank God, in the midst of everything happening, is putting on our hearts a conviction to pray and to intercede boldly and earnestly, not just for ourselves or for people we know, but for those we don't know, but for the population of people that we know are being attacked by the evil one. Children, from conception on to adulthood, to pray for them. They're being attacked. And you can imagine every way that the devil would attack someone. Everything from sickness, disease, depression, drugs, abuse, abortion, violence, all coming from the father of lies, who is a murderer, whom Jesus has defeated, whom Jesus wants to drive out. There's a proverb, it's Proverb 24:10, and it's speaking to people like us. If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. Rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to slaughter. If you say, "Behold, we did not know this," does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? This is a day of adversity. Let our strength be great through God. Not great to necessarily do things on our own, although God may lead us to do that, or he may lead us to support different charities and ministries, but let our strength be great in our prayers, which we can do anytime, anywhere, for anyone. It helps to have set times of prayer, like morning prayer, like we have on Mondays from 9:30 to 11, like we have Tuesdays, the men's prayer group, like we're going to have Wednesday this week at 7 o'clock following Lectio Divina, like we have Thursday, the men's Bible study, like we have Saturdays now from 12:30 to 1:30, and like we'll have in a few minutes here. It helps to have those times of prayer where we know we'll be somewhere praying. So I encourage you, set those times of prayers for yourself too, or set a new time of prayer where you, it's convenient for you to gather with others and pray. But let us take upon us the passion of this mother to cry out to Jesus and not let him go until he brings about healing and deliverance. Because there are so many who need it, and they don't know about it, and they can't rescue themselves, and they're depending on our prayers in this day of adversity. So let our strength through prayer be strong during this day. Let it be great. So great that it gets Jesus' attention and he moves in power and might to rescue those that he loves so dearly, the little ones that he took upon his lap and blessed. So let us pray. Well, Father, we are saved by grace and not through faith. It is not of our own works that none of us can boast. And Father, we're not here to try to do something of our own strength, our own power. But Father, by that same grace that we are saved through faith, we ask you, God, to help us to do the works that you've called us to do. Let your grace abound to us more, O God. Help us to exercise our faith. For as Paul wrote in Ephesians, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And as we love one another, God, I pray that we'll also express our faith through prayer and intercession for those that you love so dearly, the children that you're giving life in the womb, the children that are growing up and so vulnerable and dependent upon others, the children that are transitioning into adults, but yet are so vulnerable to the slings and arrows of this crazy and evil culture. Father, I pray that you'll hear our prayers. And God, the psalmist said, "I know that God is for me because when I pray to him, the tide of battle turns." We know that you're for us, and we know that you are against the evil one whom you came to destroy. Father, help us to get involved in that dynamic of Jesus bringing about salvation, even for the least of those among us. We offer ourselves a living sacrifice, O God. Take us into your care. Place upon our hearts the conviction that is upon yours, Lord. Give us compassion from your heart, O God, as you pour your love into our hearts and bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.